This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another government plan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. To this point, the financial crisis has gone like this. A fire erupts somewhere, at Bear Stearns or Fannie Mae or AIG, and then the Fed or the Treasury runs to put it out. But another one pops up somewhere else. That's the way it's been for months now. But Congress is talking about a more comprehensive solution. The government buying up toxic assets all over the place. There are no real details yet. They'll be working through the weekend on this. But just the idea of this plan has sent the stock market soaring. In Hong Kong today, shares finished the day almost 10% higher. The European markets are all up 5 to 7%. Wall Street had its best day in 6 years. The Dow climbed 410 points, almost 4%, to 11,019. The Nasdaq shot up 100 points, that's almost 5%, to 2199. And the S&P 500 climbed 50 to 1206. Let's look at this a little more. We're joined by David Buick, a partner with the brokerage firm BGC Partners in London. David, so far the stock markets have barely responded to all these government bailouts. Why is this plan, even though we don't have the details, getting such a positive reaction?
The difference is, Scott, is that the fact that supposedly using the euphemism, a bad bank will be set up whereby all the banks can drop their toxic debt into it to the tune of perhaps $800 billion, together with $450 billion worth of insurance on, you know, to cover that risk. You can say it's pretty cosmetic, but what I think everybody is extremely concerned about is the length of time it's taking for the banks to be in a position to say that they don't have to write down debt. As we know with this toxic debt, somebody is going to make a king's ransom out of it eventually.
So who's going to benefit? If the government buys them up, will the government benefit?
The government will buy them up, but it won't be cost-free. And one has to hope that because of the U.S. Taxpayer has been absolutely asked to stand behind Fannie and Freddie, as well as Bear Stearns, and as well as AIG for the time being, that they've paid their debt to society and they want their money back, and they're totally justified in thinking that.
Does it sound like to you that the U.S. government is trying to speed up this process of healing here and get to the end of the tunnel?
Yes, and I also think it's trying to stabilize the market. And at the moment, it's working. But the problems we need to know are not over. This is a magical and a very sharp relief rally. But anybody who thinks it's all over by the shouting, get real, because it isn't.
All right, David, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at Medtronic.com.
Let's talk about something else besides financial disaster. I was reading the latest column from the ESPN Ombudsman. That's Leanne Schreiber. She used to be an editor at the New York Times. Her column admonishes ESPN for forgetting the fan. It's time to visit with our business of sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, what exactly does she say?
Schreiber's main point was, and this is her direct quote, Scott, she says, ESPN has been so successful at building a better fan trap that viewers who look to sports for escape now often tell me that they need to escape ESPN to enjoy sports. And one of the great examples, I was culling through some of the blogging and emails that these people were writing in. They said there's this new ABC show, and of course ABC is ESPN now. It's just a primetime crazy reality show. You know, people jump off giant balls and they get smashed by, you know.
Oh yeah, I've seen the ads for that.
Well, you know, there's a big thing on SportsCenter called the day's top 10. Well, when they start putting Wipeout, scenes from Wipeout as the top 10 in order to cross promote another ESPN product, the fans lose, they say that ESPN loses credibility.
Well, are there any other networks out there that would like to try to compete with ESPN?
You know, that's a great question. And if it were me, if I had the bucks, if I had the power, right now I would launch a 24-hour sports network and call it, we're there for you. We're there for you, the fan, like ESPN used to. 25 years ago, they said, you know what? We are going to disseminate the sports news for you. But with the tremendous rise in their cross-promotion of their own events, and they pay a lot of money. I mean, they just paid $2.25 billion for 15 years' rights to the SEC conference, most of their sporting events. Okay, I understand why they want to promote, but I think there are fans out there who just would like to trust that they can go and not always hear what's been on ESPN, but what's been in the world of sports.
Well, you mentioned what the ombudsman said about this, but what does ESPN say about it?
The director of news, who's a guy named Vince Doria, first of all, he defends their service. But then he says, okay, I will admit, we are in the business of carpet bombing. He uses that word, carpet bombing you, about information that you can see here. And he says, I agree. We are in the business of ESPN.
Well, what would you have ESPN do instead? What's one thing they might do to make this a better situation for fans?
You know, if I were Vince Doria, I'd have a production meeting and say, okay, fair enough. There are a few areas where we can service the fan and not just service our cross-promotion, and the top 10's one of them. Why don't we make that our purest thing? Why don't we become known for, you can count on the fact that the greatest moments in sport every day are treated with honor and beautiful visuals, and we're not going to put the hot dog eating contest in the top 10 just because we cover it.
All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.